Now, at the beginning of this section, Paul returns to Antioch and spends some time there. And we know the church in Antioch has met in this cave, we have a photo here, since the first century. And it's quite possible that it was in this very place that Paul was giving the report of his missionary journey. In returning to his sending church and spending time there, Paul demonstrates another aspect of Christian maturity as accountability. The mature believer does not work alone, but seeks community to work within a family of believers and is willing to be accountable to other brothers and sisters. If you meet somewhere out there, and maybe you've already met, if you meet a pastor or a missionary who seems to be working all alone, it is appropriate to politely ask, who are you accountable to? You know, is there somebody who's watching over your ministry? And we should be very cautious if someone does not have someone else that they are willing to submit to in an accountability relationship. Paul spent some time in Antioch, and then he departed on his third missionary journey, going back to Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening the disciples in the places where he had ministered before. Meanwhile, it's always a good word, right? Meanwhile, back in Ephesus, a man named Apollos, whose home was in Alexandria, Egypt, appeared and he began to preach Jesus, but he was lacking in knowledge. In verse 26, that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, here's Apollos, and he's a learned man, and he has a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament, which is most of the Bible, really, if you look. So he's an educated man, and he's knowledgeable, and he knew something about Jesus. And the things he knew, he was accurately teaching. So he's doing pretty good. But his knowledge was incomplete. There were some gaps, some things that he had not learned along the way about the story of Jesus and the gospel. And we'll talk more about Priscilla and Aquila at a later time. But on this occasion, we see the two of them teaching Apollos. In listening to their instruction, Apollos demonstrates his humility and his willingness to learn from Priscilla, even in particular, because in that culture at that time, Jewish men did not learn from women normally. They didn't respect women as teachers or accept them. And yet we see Apollos is willing to learn from Priscilla and from Aquila both. A teachable spirit is necessary for us if we desire to mature in Christ. And Apollos is a very good example for this, that he's willing to learn from anyone who has information, who has knowledge about the gospel to share with him. Now, it told us Apollos knew only the baptism of John. He didn't know about being baptized in the name of Jesus. But Christian baptism is so much more than the baptism of John was. The baptism of John was unto repentance. Well, that's included, I think, in the Christian baptism, but it's so much more. It speaks of being united with Jesus in his death and resurrection in particular. And later, Paul would write to the church in Rome. He says, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he says, you know, and you can imagine he's almost like he's talking to Apollos here. He says, I don't know. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, that resurrection life. I think Apollos must have rejoiced when he learned about this deeper meaning of Christian baptism and the other things that he was being taught as he listened to Aquila and Priscilla, who had just spent, you know, a year and a half with Paul, learning from Paul. After a time in Ephesus, Apollos decided to move on to Achaia and probably to the city of Corinth, which is in the region of Achaia, the very place that Paul had been. Verse 27, it said, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Here we see another aspect of Christian maturity, the willingness to encourage and help others in their ministry, releasing them into their own ministry and not trying to hold them in or fence them in for a particular thing, but releasing them to go where God has called them and to do what God has asked them to do. Priscilla and Aquila and the rest of the believers in Ephesus did not just try to keep Apollos with him, saying, oh, he's a good teacher, we better keep him here. No, they released him to go to Corinth. And they sent him out with a letter of introduction, encouraging the believers there to accept him and to receive him. So in going to Corinth, Apollos here, he's going back to the very city where Paul had recently spent a year and a half. You know, I wouldn't want to be the next guy in the pulpit after Paul. That's pretty scary, really, when you think about it. But Apollos goes there, and in effect, he becomes Paul's successor in the ministry at Corinth. And some of the people there, it turns out, after a time, they even liked Apollos better than Paul. Better speaker. Stronger voice. But mature Christians in ministry or in our service to the Lord are not in competition with one another. We don't want to hold back or criticize other ministries. That doesn't mean we can be honest when something's really wrong, but we are not in the business of competing with one another. And we seek unity and cooperation, and we want to joyfully encourage one another in the ministry. And Paul himself, later on when he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 6, he writes back to the church at Corinth, and he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. It's all about God and his work. It's not about the service of a particular person, not even Paul or Apollos, certainly not me or any of us. It's about what God has done, and he's doing it through these people. Okay, one more stretch of scripture. This is like today's the express train. We're going fast here, covering a lot of ground. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they all spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and he spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now earlier, Paul had gone through Ephesus briefly and he had promised to return to Ephesus if it was the will of God. And now in his third missionary journey, he's returning to Ephesus. It clearly was God's will. And Ephesus was a large and magnificent city of perhaps 250,000 people even. Now next week, I'll share some more about Ephesus, but for today it's enough for us to remember it's a major city here. I think we have a photo. A major city in the Roman Empire was a big city. 250,000 people was a lot at that time. Not as big as Osaka today, but it was a big city. And we just remember that it's a major and important city in the Roman Empire. We'll learn more about it next week. It's on the west coast of modern Turkey. Paul stayed in Ephesus and he taught there, first in the synagogue and then the lecture hall of Tyrannus, for over 2 years. With Paul's teaching, the church at Ephesus became a missionary sending center as well, and the gospel was preached throughout the Roman province of Asia and beyond. And of course, here Asia is referring to the area of Turkey. It's not what we call Asia today. It's the Roman province of Asia. Now, John the Baptist had a powerful ministry that prepared the way for Jesus' coming. And John had many disciples, and now we meet some more disciples of John, who, like Apollos, had been baptized by John and are believers in Jesus, but they have serious gaps in their knowledge about the Christian faith and walk. Paul meets them maybe shortly after he arrived in Ephesus. He realizes they do not know about the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, he asked them, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Yeah. In the church today, around the world in many places, maybe here also, there are still many Christians who do not know about the Holy Spirit or have only a very vague idea about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And if you feel that you might need to learn more about the Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit or other basic topics in Christian faith, then I would encourage you to join in on the Alpha Course. The 15 sessions in the Alpha Course also include 3 sessions about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. It's a very good place to get started in filling in and learning about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity of God. The Alpha Course is especially recommended for people who are just learning about Jesus or for new Christians, but it's also very helpful in filling in gaps in our knowledge and things, sometimes even for people who've been a Christian for years. You may have some gaps that need to be filled in about the faith. And then taking the Alpha Course and then going on to become an Alpha Small Group leader will equip you to share the gospel more effectively with your family and friends, especially since it's quite easy to run the Alpha Course in your own home or in another location, so you can invite your own family and friends to learn. Today, we've seen some good examples of mature Christians in the passages we've read. And we've also seen how many Christians at that time, and even still today, have some gaps in their understanding of the faith, and they're still learning. That's okay. We're all on the same journey of faith. We have a nice here journey photo, and you can imagine yourself walking up here. I guess this guy stopped to admire some flowers up there at the top, but we're all on the same journey of faith, but we're not on the same place along the road. I just want to encourage us all to continue onward to spiritual maturity in Christ. Some people are at the beginning of the road, just beginning to learn about Jesus, and that's okay. Some people have been walking with Jesus for many years. That's wonderful. But wherever you are on the road of faith, I just want to encourage you to continue moving forward to a more intimate and deeper relationship with Christ and a better understanding of the kingdom of God. Because none of us are complete or perfect in our knowledge. None of us are, you know, have reached the ideal in our Christian walk day by day. We all need to continue pressing forward. It's so easy on a hike to just stop and take a break. But don't just sit there for months and years in your Christian walk. Continue forward to new and better things, moving onward in our relationship with Christ. And there are many challenges along the way. Many challenges along the way. Amen. But the Lord is with us. Amen. And He will help us. So just keep going, keep growing to a deeper and better relationship with Jesus. A few years after he had left Ephesus, maybe 6 or 7 years later, Paul is writing back to the believers at Ephesus, the church there. And he wrote to them to encourage them. And in his letter, he included some words about how God works in the church, words that I think really kind of capture the main point of today's message very well. So let's go ahead and close with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Keep going, keep growing. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day, and we thank you for the privilege of having Neville and Lil and Elaine with us today. We thank you for the privilege of being able to participate in their ministry, in your work among the deaf. We thank you for the privilege of gathering in your name here at the worship service at OIC. Heavenly Father, we ask that your will would be done. We ask that you would help us to grow to maturity. We pray, Lord, for those who are at the beginning of their journey of faith. We pray for those who've been on the road for many years and maybe sometimes feel tired and weary. Help us all, Lord, to press on, to grow in Christ, to deepen our knowledge of Scripture, most of all, to be built up in your love so that we can love you and love others around us even as you do. Lord, we pray for a special blessing on mothers today, on mothers and their families. Bless them. Bless all the ladies of our church in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know there are many struggles along the way. Some are lonely, some are tired, some are sick, some are out of work, some have trouble with relationships in their family or among their neighbors or coworkers. Lord, we have many struggles, but you know each and every one, and we just pray that you would extend your hand of blessing and touch each one. Meet those needs. Lift us up, bear us onward toward completeness in Christ. And Lord, most of all, we give thanks for your work on the cross where you gave your life as a ransom for ours and provided for us through faith to receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And then you demonstrated in power the truth of that promise with the resurrection. Help us all to know you and to invite you into our heart and give us this resurrection life. Help us to grow close to one another in the love of Christ. Guide us that we might serve in your church and the ministries you've called us to, so that many might know you, so that the kingdom of God might grow. So that the blessing of Christ would be known throughout the city, throughout Japan, around the world. This morning we do also especially lift up the deaf and ask for a special blessing on those whose sense of hearing is either gone or very weak. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless them in abundant ways. That you would turn the burden to a blessing, that you would meet their needs, that you would guide them into joyous relationship with you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.